Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion.
Hello everyone, welcome to this week's Absolute Rally. It's good to be back. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I don't know when you listen to us anymore. I know I keep saying that. It's just force of habit saying Wednesday. But we've got normality back, and what I mean is by that, my right-hand man, he's back at the top of the show. Ryan Champion, hello.
Hello, good to be back at the front rather than back at the back, as it were.
so many jokes. But our little friend, always now at the top of the show as well, or certainly since the turn of this year, Jack Benyon, Motorsport News. Welcome back to the beginning of Absolute Rally.
How you doing, Tony? How you doing, Ryan? Not so little, Tony, but yeah.
I was going to say, I don't quite know where to go with that, but still, we'll crack on. Listen, it's been a funny old week now, and the reason why I mention that is because, obviously, Jack, we spoke last week with regards to the opening round of the European Rally Championship being delayed due to the lack of snow, and we've just very nearly had the same thing with Rally Sweden.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been like you say, it's been a really strange couple of weeks, really, in terms of weather. Obviously, it's something that's shared across the Scandinavian countries, because we've got a lot of warm weather in Sweden as well, and we've got a shortened timetable, so it's not ideal. We're hoping for a bit more cold weather over the course of the week to bring about some ice, and hopefully the rally's going to run. It's still not 100% there, so we just have to wait and see what happens, really.
Now, a man who knows a little bit about, of course, playing on snow and ice, Ryan, you've just come back from, well, kind of a couple of weeks ago, you've just come back from obviously playing on snow and ice. Now, one question I kind of seen banded about a little bit is why they simply can't just run this as a gravel rally.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Obviously, Rally GB, as I was talking about on Twitter last night, Rally GB's never allowed winter tyres, or never allowed studded tyres, I should say. You've always been able to use a winter tyre, a snow tyre, but never a studded tyre. And yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? If the conditions are relatively warm, they obviously don't want to damage the roads. So that's the key thing for the organisers, is a studded tyre will just destroy the roads, and then they get into all sorts of problems with local government and environmentalists and everything else for destroying the roads. So that's the last thing that the rally obviously wants to do. So yeah, I guess I was opening up the debate of, well, why couldn't you just run a winter tyre as opposed to a studded tyre?
And well, I was looking for the Jack, answer from you, mate.
Jack and I were debating it. I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know where the big problem would come with this. I mean, yes, you would have icy sections. Yes, you'd have snowy sections. But that's exactly as Rally GB has been like in those conditions. There was a problem with Rally GB a couple of years ago that, I was doing it that year when we all had to use a control Pirelli hard compound gravel tyre, and the stages were sheet ice. Now, obviously, that doesn't work. But nowadays, the modern winter tyres are actually very good, even unstudded. So, should we be in a position where there is a bit of a fallback plan to be able to use a non-studded tyre in these conditions?
I think you're a good person to obviously speak about that, Ryan, because obviously you've driven in these situations and you can sort of, you know what the car feels like in that situation. But I think in terms of the organisers, I think what it mainly comes down to is safety. I think that'd be my pointer, because if a car hits a patch of ice on a winter tyre and goes off, I mean, what can the organisers do to defend themselves in that situation?
Yeah, but I guess it's no different on Monte Carlo, is it? When we see cars non-studded tyres, on a purely tarmac tyre at times, skating across on ice at like 10 miles an hour. It's this debate we're coming back to, isn't it, with the WRC again, about the darkness, about the dust. I don't want to say that's how it used to be, so that's how it should be, because obviously the sport's moved on a long way, but we seem to be moving further and further away from the spirit of adventure, if you like, and dealing with tricky conditions that are thrown at the drivers. That was always one of the things that good drivers dealt with very well, and in some ways separated maybe the very best drivers from the less good drivers.
Jack, with regard to the itinerary, obviously that is still ongoing, as you say, and there's still, we find ourselves recording this program on Tuesday, and as yet nothing is confirmed. But how many stages potentially have we lost?
It's a bit of a complicated situation, to be honest, but we've got only two stages on Sunday now, so we're missing the kind of Sunday loop. On Friday we've got SS2, SS3, SS4, SS7, SS8, and SS9. And then on the Saturday, we've got 10, 12, 14, 16 and 17. So it's not quite cut in half, but it's not far away.
I should have to say, mileage-wise, is there not, and again, Ryan, if you know this, Jack, if you know, are we not in a situation where there's a minimum amount of mileage before a rally, kind of, they have to can it?
You can say that one, Ryan.
from a regulatory point of view, I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody will put us right on Twitter. But I guess what I would say is we've got to applaud the organisers for trying to do something, because a lot of money's been spent by the teams, hasn't it? Now, all the testing's been done. The teams are all there. The crews are all there. And even if it's a shortened event, it's got to be better all round for something to run. Yes, it's not going to be ideal, but like I said, a lot of the money's been spent to do the event. As for the mileage to be a full WRC round point score and all the rest of it, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there is a regulation in place on that.
I would have thought so. Now, it brings us, I suppose, not nicely, but it brings us down to some of the drivers that are doing Sweden. And Jari Matti Latvala seems to have something to say, Jack, about Sweden.
He loves the roads. We all know how animated Jari Matti can get about certain stages. Everyone knows what he's like about Mähren and things like that. But yeah, Sweden's definitely one of his favourite rounds, and he's had a bit of a conversation with David Evans about how much he likes the roads. Just going back to Ryan's point there as well about the situation of the roads and stuff in Sweden, I think it's really important to point out that Sweden doesn't really get any government backing. So where some of the other events have big government backing or big sponsors, Sweden doesn't really have either of them. So in terms of cancelling the event or something, it can really hit them a lot harder than some of the other events on the calendar as well.
Well, there's a few things that have been mooted with regards to the future of the events. You know, we're going a bit back and forth on this, but the future of Rally Sweden is perhaps in danger, aside from all these issues anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we were ready to run that, the kind of future of Sweden before anything happened with the weather-wise. David Evans has got a brilliant pages 2 and 3 in the paper this week about the future of Sweden and the potential of Sweden pulling out, because they simply don't have the money to meet the WRC promoter costs. And as I alluded to before, they don't really have any big sponsors or any sort of backing from the government. I'm sure they get help from the government, and I'm sure there's some situation there where they help out, but in terms of sort of like a GB type deal with the Welsh Assembly, that's just not there for them. So I think they're really struggling.
I think that's something I'd love to come back to in the future, just in general. I know from a different part of my life, from working with him, doing some work with him, Formula One and things like that, is that I know how the events kind of work from signing up to the championship and what they have to put in and things like that. But I was always led to believe it was somewhat slightly different than WRC. But I'd love to come back to that. I think that could almost be half a programme within itself. Now, friend of the show, Craig Breen, is obviously just about to make his full factory debut for Citroën, the WRC, and I think even if it was on sand and the sun was cracking the flags and they were in Sweden, I still think Craig would still have a smile on his face.
That's right, yeah. I think he's there's nothing stopping him from getting there the rest of this weekend, and I think if there's anything he can do to help the rally run, he'll be out there digging things out and all that sort of stuff, getting hands on if he could, because I think he's really looking forward to the opportunity of getting out in a proper works, well, it's not a works car, but it is effectively a works spec car.
Right, you've drove lots of different things, and I think with Craig this is kind of like the pinnacle of the sport. Obviously, but what Jack's just been saying there, it is effectively a factory car. It's what he's been working towards. How at this point does he kind of keep it together? Because it's not a normal Sweden, as we've just been discussing. How does he kind of just focus on doing the job in hand, and I suppose, not to put too fine a point on it, not get too giddy?
Well, I guess from Craig's point of view, he's got a lot of experience to fall back on already, hasn't he? Despite his young years, he's got a lot of four-wheel drive experience. He's got WRC experience in terms of both the cars and the events. And ultimately, he's in the same position as everybody else. Road position might not be favourable, but then you never know. It might be an advantage if some of the icy sections start to break up. So I think he has enough experience now that he'll be treating it not like any other rally, because as we've just said, it's his chance of the big time, and it's his chance to prove his ability against the world's best opposition in a top line car. But I do think he has he has the background, the experience, the understanding of the rallies to a degree approach it like another rally, just get his head down and do the best he can. And, you know, I think we all wish him the best of luck to get a great result.
Absolutely. Now, his teammate, obviously, and another friend of ours who's been on the programme, Chris Meek, he's also featured this week, Jack, with regards to talking about the surfaces in Sweden. Has that story somewhat changed since it was originally written, or what?
No, it's all right. It's all up to date. We had a very busy day yesterday, let me tell you. But yeah, all good. Meek, he's talking about the conditions a bit, and something that David Evans points out very, very, very poignantly, actually, I think, is that Meek's running quite a bit further down the road. If you look at the FIA seeding regulations, it goes in championship order, but Meek's not actually registered for the championship, so although he finished second on the Monte, he won't be running second on the road in Sweden. So as the we've talked a bit about the surface and what the surface is going to be like. It's going to be a lot more difficult for some of the cars further back, and Jari Matti is going to be down there as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what the surface is like when those cars come through, and you know, how much of a disadvantage they're going to be at.
Okay, so do you know what? That was something which maybe it didn't sink in with me. So Chris didn't actually take points then for Monty?
No. No, if you look at the championship points, he's not actually featured.
Do you know what? I didn't look. You just kind of, there's an assumption, isn't there?
Yeah, and, there is, yeah, because I did the same thing.
Assumption makes an ass out of you and me, as they say. Right, listen.
Beat yourself.
Steady. Moving on quite swiftly, and I don't know whether this is just me, and Ray, you're a connoisseur of retro rally, obviously, with what you own and you know your facts and stuff like that. But we seem to be getting quite kind of animated these days, or certainly people seem to get quite excited now about liveries being announced. I don't remember it being such a big deal when I first started getting involved in rallying. It kind of was just a given. Now Toyota have put their livery out, which obviously Jack will talk to us about in a second, which is featured on page 15 of Motorsport News this week. And yeah, as I say, I don't remember it being such a big deal.
Well, firstly, to be a connoisseur, I think you'd have to be able to spell the word, so I'm not a connoisseur. But, I guess it's a lot easier to change the colour scheme of a car nowadays, isn't it? You know, you just wrap it. So it's very, very easy with modern computer design and vinyl to change the livery and also to do it quite quickly. So, yeah, I guess in the old days, things tended to be quite settled for the year, and they didn't change, and there was no big announcement around the new colour scheme, like you said. But I guess it's very easy to do. I mean, one memorable year I remember was when Toyota ran the Corolla World Rally Car, and they changed the livery on the door for every event. I don't know if you remember that.
Umbrellas
for Rally GB, and I think there was horses for Argentina and snowflakes for Sweden, etc. So that was a pretty cool change in livery that I seem to remember. But like you say, a lot more hype around liveries now.
They need gravel on the livery for this year in Sweden, but still, there you go. But a bit hard. Maybe a bottle of water or something like that. I don't know. I think this is another quite interesting story as well, which leads up quite nicely to Rally Sweden for Mads Osberg. I don't seem to remember Mads doing anything outside of the Citroën than his testing and obviously his competitive program, but he's been out, and I remember him doing this with the Adapter team previously, where he would go and do additional rounds the Norwegian Rally Championship and things like that. And he's just won, I think, for five times, I think it is. I don't know whether it's the opening round, the Finstog, yeah, thanks, Jack. Yeah, it's not just me that mispronounces things. Brilliant.
I write. I don't have to pronounce. That's the benefit of my job.
That's our fair play. See, I don't know what me and Ryan do. Then we just talk about it and try and read it out. But Ryan, is this a slightly more focused, or is this a Mads Osberg that has got slightly more freedom, perhaps?
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of the latter, isn't there? There's probably a bit more freedom in what he's doing now. Obviously, the Adapter team is the family team anyway. He's probably got a bit more freedom to go and do some more mileage, but it's certainly going to help. And he set an impressive pace last weekend. I mean, I noticed on the first stage he was considerably quicker than the strong local opposition in similar cars, so it should put him in good stead. Although whether actually the conditions this weekend are going to be anything like last weekend, that's another debate.
Sticking with M Sport, I'll ask Jack about this one. But Nielsen to M Sport, Jack.
Yep.
Talk me through it.
well. That's top and bottom of it, really. He's
okay,
in
Sweden.
there you go. Enjoy.
No, the reason why I ask is Bryn Nielsen has been around a lot longer than probably what people realise. You know, he's a very solid hand, especially WRC 2 level, and obviously going back to SWRC and PWRC. I must admit, for me, I know he did some DMAC Drive events last year in the regional car, and I think he did one maybe in an R5 car. But I don't quite figure out how this is working. Is it the fact that he was run by Adapter previously, and maybe he's gone there with Mads, or what? What's the story? I assume he's in an R5 car.
He's in a Works M-Sport R5 car. I'm reading between the lines as well here, but my sort of feeling about this would be that Malcolm's doing his very best this year to get the best kind of people in the Works M-Sport R5s, just to advertise that Evo package and you know, obviously try and match that car up with the Skoda. And I'm just wondering whether, you know, Bryn Nielsen finished second in WRC2 last year in Sweden, so is this just a move to sort of get the best people possible that he can get hold of for...
Is this just a one-off thing, Jack, for Sweden, is it?
As far as I know, yeah. Okay. Yeah, as far as I know, it's just a one-off, but I think there could be more outings. I'd have to look that up for you, but yeah, as far as I know, it's just Sweden at the minute.
That takes me back right to the good old days where you got specialists in. Do you remember those days?
Yeah, and you know, you had the Thomas Radströms and the Mats Jonssons that all used to drive the works cars on the Swedish rally. I was just racking my brains. Was it Esker Pekka Lappi who was in a Fiesta a couple of years back in a works liveried WRC2 car? I'm just trying to think if it was Lappi before he went to Skoda, but I seem to remember there was a works coloured WRC2 car a couple of years back.
That goes to you talk about livery before, right? And I was speaking to David Evans about this, and Bryn Nielsen's car is exactly the same as Elvin Evans, and it's, you know, it's got the massive Evo writing downside, but apart from the Evo writing in red downside, there's no identifiable difference for the crowd from the WRC cars to the WRC2 cars. So we're going to get four Fiestas all in a very similar livery. And when they've got snow down the side, you're not going to be able to read that Evo situation. And that's why I quite like teams doing different liveries, because as a spectator, you're going to watch those cars going past. And if you're standing at a jump or something and you're watching a car go past at sort of 100 kilometres an hour, can you really tell the difference between a WRC and an R5 car as a general spectator?
The size of the rear spoiler, I think that's the easy spotter, isn't it?
It is,
it's
gone
past, but you're right.
What I'm saying
is
100 kilometres an hour over a jump, that's quite difficult to spot, isn't it? You know, it's not particularly easy.
If it's over a jump, maybe we need to put something on the sump guard. Just a thought. Maybe we need to color code the sump guards. Right, moving on. NASA's record, which is another story which you've been talking about this week, or David Evans has been talking about.
That's right, yeah. NASA's got his 61st career win in the Middle Eastern in the Middle Eastern Championship, which is one more than Mohammed bin Salam. I don't know too much about Mohammed bin Salam. I remember him doing some Group N stuff in the sort of early 90s and stuff like that in WRC terms, but...
Ryan, take a step forward. This is where Ryan comes into his own. Jack, that was like an open goal for Ryan.
Well, Ryan,
no, you're right with Ben Salem towards the end of his career. It was mostly in Group N cars. But, I mean, yeah. I think his WRC career would have started in Toyotas, I think.
Yeah.
Going back to the old Group B Twin Cam Celica or Turbo Celica that he used to drive in the Middle East, and then obviously he had a long link with Toyota before moving to Ford and finishing off with the Marlboro sponsored Group N cars.
There you go.
You see, it could be. It's just like a pub quiz waiting to happen. All this, isn't it? one other thing I want to pick up on just before we move away. Mickelson says he doesn't want to finish second like last year. Now, I can only assume that he's aiming for third then, because maybe I'm being cynical there, but do we see past Seb? Do we really see past Seb? I don't know.
That's an opinion thing, isn't it? You know, it did come down to the wire last year, and it was very close between the three drivers. So hopefully the similar kind of thing will happen this year. And I think it's quite important, really. It seems to be one of the only rallies where OJ is, I wouldn't say weak, but you can see people challenging him. Well, I can anyway. I don't know if you guys agree. I think Mickelson's very good on the snow, and I think he will challenge Ogier this weekend, for sure.
Right. I don't know about you, but like what you were saying before, certainly my impression of Sebastien Ogier is that he is one that adapts very, very quickly to situations, whether it's running order, levels of grip, things like that. He is one of the, he does have that ability to be able to change it up when required.
Yeah, he does seem to, and again, that's what marks out the true top line driver that he is. Whatever conditions he's put in, he does adapt to it. I mean, we hear occasionally of him not having the feeling, but when Seb Ogier doesn't have the feeling, it means he's only fastest by 5 seconds and not 15, doesn't it? Whereas when certain other drivers that we could talk about don't have the feeling, they're at 15 seconds back. So he's certainly good at picking up grip levels, at finding the speed. But like Jack said, I think Mikkelsen, he's going very well at the minute. He's confident. I certainly think he'll be somewhere near. And you know, Latvala needs to be somewhere near, doesn't he? If he doesn't want to fall back in the championship and already become the number two, this is, as we said a couple of weeks back, this is Latvala's time that he has to shine. He has to compete. He has to be at the front.
I think just to add, and to play devil's advocate to myself, really, I think if the conditions are mixed, then I think Ogier will be very difficult to beat. That's the situation he wants, and that's where he will excel against other drivers. I think that definitely comes down to what you were saying, Ryan, as, you know, drivers who excel in the best conditions are usually the best drivers, and I think we're all clear that Ogier is the best driver in the championship by, if not a large margin, then definitely a defined margin.
Okay, gents, before we move away from Rally Sweden, I'm gonna put it out there. It's the oldest one in the book. Jack, your top three for Sweden.
Oh, well, that's a difficult one. I'm gonna go Ogier first. I'm gonna go Mikkelsen second, and I'm gonna go Nerville third.
Interesting. Okay, right.
I don't want to be predictable here, but how can you look past Ogier at the minute? You know, you just can't see him unless he goes off the road or has an unseen technical problem. You just couldn't see him getting beaten, and I think it'll be a Volkswagen 1-2-3. Unfortunately, I do think there's a good chance Mikkelsen will beat Latvala as well. So I'm going to go Ogier, Mikkelsen, Latvala. But I do hope I'm wrong because I don't want to see another Volkswagen 1-2-3.
And as I'm the host and I drive the program, I don't have to give mine. So anyway, I'll tell you what I'll do. Right, it is my thing. I don't see past Ogier for the simple reason is the fact that there is so many issues with regards to the rally and how it's going to run. And what I mean is by that, obviously, it's not a complete snow rally. If it was a complete snow rally, I'd probably kind of go to a bit towards what Jack was saying with regards to Mikkelsen being exceptionally strong. And you know, but I think Mads, I think you've been very cruel to Peria. The fact that Mads is match fit. Excuse me. I see Ogier, Mads, Mikkelsen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Controversial.
That's what I'm here. That's what I'm all about, Jack. That's how I nail my flags. That's how I do it. Right, we're going to move away very, very briefly from WRC. We're going to be covering, just if you are listening to the programme now, we're going to have Zav McCartin on talking about Galway later on. He's going to be our man over in Ireland, so we're going to cover Galway a little bit later on. And we're also going to have Niall Burns as well, fellow Irishman of Zav's, but he's been competing over in the States and he's looking at doing the South African Championship. So we're going to be talking to him a little bit later on. But I just want to, we as I said last week, right, we had High and High Corner. I feel like we've got BRC Corner at the moment. And again, I apologise for being parochial. But I just wanted to just cover a couple of bits and pieces. Mid-Wales Stages is starting to fill up. I think we all hoped it was going to fill up a little bit quicker, but people are starting to come out now. One driver that I thought might have made the switch back to doing the British Rally Championship is John McCrone. And John obviously has done a fair amount of rallying in the BRC, and also obviously did. I think he did Rally Germany last year as well, and in the R2 Fiesta, and very, very quick boy. But he's signed up to use an R5 in the Scottish Rally Championship, Jack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, he didn't do much rallying last year, John. He did Germany, like you said, and I think he showed how good he is, really, by winning the Vatanen Touch Trophy on Rally Germany, which got him a chance to do the DMAC shootout later in the year, which John Armstrong won. But I think John's a very quick lad, and I think it's a a pretty wise move, actually, moving to the Scottish Championship. Gary Pearson's done something similar. I think it's a nice way to sort of bed yourself into the R5, get used to the car, and then get ready to step up. I think there's a few people who've made the step up to the BRC a bit quickly, and I think Scottish is a nice way to go, just to bed yourself in a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know about what your thoughts are, Ryan. I think the only thing is the Scottish obviously is a bit like the BTRDA National Series here in the UK. It's all gravel, so you've got to step away from your comfort zone really and go and do some tarmac events outside of the championship as well.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I'm sure it comes down to budget as well. The Scottish Championship rallies are one day events. They're 45 stage miles generally, and obviously a lot less costly than doing the British Championship. So I'm sure if John had the budget, we'd see him in BRC. But you have to think there's a level of cost involved when it comes to maybe choosing the Scottish Championship.
Speaking of budgets and BRC, did Jack ring you last week, Jack? Threatened to call you with regards to trying to release a story about Ryan Champion returning to the BRC. Did that phone call happen?
I'm not trying to release anything.
No, not as yet. Nothing to add there, unfortunately.
Okay, no comment, Jack. Well, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with a no comment?
There's no such thing as no comment to me, Tony. I'll work harder than that.
Listen, you just mentioned the DMAC thing as well, and something which I supported on Wales Rally GB last year was the ST Trophy, which is going to be running in the BTRDA this year in the UK. And the winner of that gets put forward to the DMAC Drive shootout at the end of the year. Now, is that age capped? Do you know, Jack? Is that up to a certain age?
Well, I should be asking you, really. Is it age capped?
I don't know.
No, I don't think it is. It's the overall winner of the ST Trophy, as my understanding, goes into the shootout.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, it's the opening round of that on the Cambrian Rally, which is our first BTRDA round this year. I know they've had, I think they've got 100 entries now, is it, Jack?
For the Cambrian?
Yeah.
130-odd, I think.
Have they got the 130? I know there was a kind of a sharp intake of breath when it was around 100, that they needed 130, I think, to break even. So
it was up at 155 at one point. I think a few have dropped out since then, but I'll be honest.
Yeah, me included, to be honest with you. I was entered on it, I pulled my entry. So,
You'll be coming back in now, you've heard about that shootout, haven't you?
No, to be fair, I knew about the shootout before Christmas, so...
Yeah,
It was one of those things where I was interested. We never quite got clarification of the age thing on it.
Yeah,
not that it made a blind bit of difference to me in any way, shape or form. But no, unfortunately, we won't be out on the rounds this year with those guys. We're working on something else at the moment. So all will be revealed in due course. And before we leave, we mentioned it last week as well. CA1 Martin Wilkinson, of course. Rye, you know quite well. Two car team on BRC. Alex Laffey is now the second car alongside what was the guy's name?
Frederick Arlin,
that's him. I don't know whether you know too much about these two guys at all, right, but are they going to be able to mix it?
I think Arlin will be up there. I think he'll definitely be somewhere near the front. We talked about him last week. He may not have so many results on the board, but as we said, he's a quick driver, and he'll be up at the front. And Alex Laffey's got a lot of experience over the last couple of years, mainly on tarmac events. So I'm sure it'll be a year of building experience for him. But great to see another top line team in the British Championship.
Okay, there's a couple of things I want to finish on for this section of the programme. It's a little bit awkward. We never like talking about these things, but Dave Mayer, who is a man who lent himself to rallying, to rallycross, obviously to BMX, which is where he made his name, very, very sadly passed away. I don't really want to talk about the circumstances around it. I don't think it's the right thing to do. But, when you talk about people like Ken Block transcending sports and things like that, I think Dave Mayer definitely fell into that category.
I think you're right. And, we're all for people who come to rallying and raise the profile of rallying. And he's one of those American drivers that's done that, along with Travis Pastrana and Ken Block, as you said. And, really sad news. He was part of the JRM team recently in the mini rallycross car. He was obviously part of the Subaru USA rally team setup. And I saw actually Guy Wilkes put a quite a touching comment on on social media about it as well. Guy obviously met him through the minis there with JRM, and a sad loss to the sport, and sad loss to his own sport as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, very, very sad. I don't know whether is MN carrying anything this week, Jack, or
I've not seen anything off. Well, I haven't put anything in the rally pages, but I think it was going in a different place. But yeah, I'd just like to add my condolences to the family and everything. And my first knowledge of Dave Murray was playing Dirt 3 on the PlayStation, and he was on that. And he's just like Ryan said, he's one of these people who transcends sport. And he's a great loss, definitely.
Most definitely. Anyway, moving on, and again, our thoughts go out to Dave Murray's family. A couple of things I wanted to touch upon before I lose you guys for the rest of the program. The MSA safety feature, which I think you've been writing about this week, Jack. Just tell us a little bit about what's been going on there.
Well, it's a thing that's really close to me personally, actually, and it's something I like to try and campaign as much as possible. I think safety is really important, and I think not at the loss of the sport. I think this still needs to be. No sport can ever be 100% safe, but I think there's always things we can be doing to improve, especially spectator safety. I've just touched a little bit upon that on a little feature we've done, where we've kind of charted the developments of the new 2016 safety regulations put forward by the MSA, obviously coming from the Scottish Review after the Jim Clark crash. So I've just kind of gone into a bit more detail with Rob Jones at the MSA, just to try and show the situation in a bit of a different light to people who maybe don't quite know how close we were to losing stage rallying in this country.
Yeah, I think, I know, Ryan, I think you've been involved in committees and stuff in the past. I don't know whether you still are, but I was fully aware of how close we were. I don't know what vibes you were getting, but I was very, very aware, and I don't think anybody truly, really understood at the time what was going on.
No, that's absolutely true, and particularly in Scotland, of course, who've really taken a very close interest into everything that was going on, and that's one thing. The MSA probably doesn't get a lot of credit within motorsport in this country generally, and I sat on the rallies committee for a long time in Motorsport House, and know Rob quite well, and they do an awful lot of work behind the scenes. They really do have the good of the sport at heart, even if it doesn't seem that way on the outside sometimes, and the underlying factor to them is all about safety and prolonging the length of the sport as long as we can. There might come a day where it isn't socially acceptable to drive cars quickly anymore, so they do work hard on our behalf, and like I say, they don't always get the praise they deserve.
Now, speaking of driving cars quickly and in a controlled environment, and we've just been talking about snow and ice at the very top of the show, we've mentioned Tuttle Porsches, we know Rise drove them, we know Richard Tuttle's been on the programme, but of all the times, Ryan Champion, to come home from working with Tuttle's, what the devil were you thinking?
Oh, tell me about it. I did hear a whisper a little bit earlier in the year that Volkswagen were going to be there testing, and Seb had shown an interest in getting behind the wheel of a Porsche, and gutted not to see that this week, but I think by all accounts Seb had really enjoyed doing some slides on the lake in a 911, and put some of his onboard footage on Twitter as well, so yeah, great to see. And they were up there testing this week, actually on the road that we used to access the lake, but it looked like they had quite good snowy conditions, so it probably wasn't that worthwhile.
Jack, is this going to be a story next week, do you think?
Oh, we can have a look at it, definitely. I'm sure David Evans has been watching. As far as, actually, I think he was Carlos Sainz up there writing it all recently?
Carlos was there 2 years ago, Carlos and Carlos Jr. And David actually came up and covered that one. David's been up there and he's done his fair share of skids as well.
He was talking about this recently, so I don't know if this has happened again somewhere else or something along those lines, but yeah, I'll have to find out about that for you for next week.
Jack's angling for a ride in a Porsche. Jack's angling for a ride in a Porsche. Alert, alert. Jack's angling for a ride.
No.
Right, gentlemen, this is the bit now where you two guys go about your business and I carry on putting a programme together. So, Jack, thank you. We will catch you up next week.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Right, I'll let you get back to doing undercover stuff over in... I'm convinced he's some kind of James Bond, Jack, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, he's always in some country driving some kind of sports car.
He's just too cool, isn't he? He's got to be some sort of gentleman spy or something along those lines.
He's the Iceman. Although your wingman is Justin Dale.
He is this week, yeah. I've gone from Martin Rowe to Justin Dale. So, still hanging out with some of my old mates, yeah.
So there you go. We'll pass our best on to Justin. Do you know what? We should probably get Justin on.
I've already warned him about that. Yeah, I've already.
And how did he react?
Well, he didn't have a lot of option. We'll get him on at some point.
Yeah, we'll do that. Listen, guys, enjoy the rest of your week, and same time, same place next week.
Thanks, Tony.
Speak to you then.
Thank you very much. And we will now be crossing over. We're going to talk to Niall Burns, who, as I say, has just done the opening round of the Rally America Championship, and he's going to be doing. South African Rally Championship, rather. So we are spreading our wings, as I said, into other parts of the world. So sit back, relax, and enjoy offering.
This is Absolute Rally.
Tony, how are things?
Things are well. It's nice that I think I was trying to figure out before. You have been on our program before, and I was trying to figure out how long ago it was. I reckon it's probably 8, 9, maybe 10 months ago. And as ever, because we were in that studio where we used to be, it was a struggle to hear you. So it's nice to have you in clear sound, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it was a bit of an experience that last interview. I think it was just a week leading up to the Ulster Rally, I think, in August. The last time I was out with you guys.
It was a busy old time for you, wasn't it? Because you were kind of here, there and everywhere last year.
Yeah, I was everywhere. I actually counted up 33 rallies in total I competed on last year between America, South Africa, Ireland, France. So it was a crazy period at the time, but enjoyable period. Learned a lot and a lot of experience gained, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to catch up with you this week specifically because there's kind of a weird kind of knock-on effect. We've just, Ryan, Jack and myself have just been talking about Rally Sweden and the issues with regards to, you know, lack of snow and things like that. And that was something that on certainly the opening round of the American Rally Championship wasn't an issue, was it, on the snowdrift?
No, there was a shadow of that. We definitely were the perfect tires for the Sweden conditions at the minute, I can assure you, you know. Snowdrift always throws up very tricky conditions. Obviously, it's snow and ice, and obviously by state law in Michigan, you're not allowed to run studded tires on public roads, so we unfortunately can't use them on the rally. So we're fortunately going out in ordinary gravel tires. So it does make for some interesting moments and, you know, one of the trickiest events of the year. But fortunately, it went our way this year and we had a good result.
I was going to say third overall, which I think last year you got quite a good result in the production section, because it is kind of the production section, there's kind of like the open class section as well, isn't there?
It is indeed, yeah. We done very well in the class there last year, you know. It was my first time working with Brenton Kelly at the time, so obviously we were working on a new pace note system and just getting the two of us to gel, and he'd actually had an accident there the previous year, so he was a wee bit cautious too. But we, going into this year now, you know, some of the stages were similar, so we had notes from last year and everything felt very comfortable, and we had a better test, we had a better, you know, setup and all this year, because he had tested the car before Christmas and he was very confident going into it, so it made all the difference for this event.
So, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know which way to look at it really, you've gone over, you've done the opening round of Rally America, but there's nothing else in the diary at the moment for you over there.
Nothing as of yet. No, 100 Acre Wood Rally is in March, and I have my fingers crossed something might come up, you know. But I think at this year, there's a lot of guys taking sabbaticals from Rally America this year, focusing on other things, and they're looking to come back in 2017. So, but you know, I'm still confident that I should be at the start line of 100 Acre. You know, I'm making a couple of calls, a few emails going back and forth, so I'm still relatively confident I'll be there.
It's one of those things. Obviously, you are kind of taking on the mighty factory team over there, which obviously is Subaru USA and Vermont Sports Car. But there's been a really, really good undercurrent of obviously smaller teams that have cracked on. But as you say, it does seem very quiet over there, and I hope something gets going, because the Canadian Rally Championship is obviously it's only just across the border there, and that seems to be doing okay. So hopefully there will be a knock-on effect for the guys over there. But listen, I wanted to speak to you because we keep on talking about trying to make Absolute Rally as international as possible, and obviously you competing over in the USA gives us that international flavour straight away. But this year the diary is looking a little bit busier, a little bit further afield almost, isn't it? A South African Rally Championship.
Yeah, I went over last year to sit with Ashley Hay-Smith on the Toyota Cape Rally, and it was just going to be a one-off event. Ashley needed a co-driver, and he got in contact, and we went out and had a good time, and I thought it was a one-off event, and I didn't think much of it. I couldn't commit to the final event of the series because I had a clashing event in America, and just over Christmas period there, Ashley got in touch with me by email, and he said, look, dude, I really like the way the two of us got in the car. Would you be interested in doing a full season with me this year? So we've been emailing back and forth, and now we're heading out to South Africa next week to start preparations for the Goldfields Motor Rally on the 4th and 5th of March to start off the championship. So new challenge, and really looking forward to it.
Wow, so just for our listeners, what's the situation with cars out there? That you're on World Rally cars, as a Group N cars? What's the situation with cars out there?
Basically, the factory team would be Toyota, and they're running S2000 Yaris's, which would be the main team, and there's also a couple of privateer teams running R5s. There wouldn't be much of a WRC element. It'd be mainly R5 S2000, something similar to the way the Irish Tarmac Championship is going this year. We're going to be competing in the Super 1600 class, which actually runs R2 category cars, so we'd be competing against Polo R2s and Yaris R2s as well, so should be interesting. It makes for a good competition on them stages, and it's very good viewing too.
I was just about to say, with regards to the stages, I assume they're all gravel events.
All gravel events, yes. But I have to say, if it's anything like the Toyota Cape Rally, the super specials are really spectacular. The actual super special for Toyota Cape Rally took place in a wee town, and we actually started on the second level of a multi-story car park and went downhill around roundabouts and into shopping centres. And I have to say, it was an experience now, but it brought out thousands of spectators, and it was a really spectacular stage to be involved with and compete on.
Fantastic. So, how many events over there?
The plan at the minute is to do the full championship, which would be 7 events, and we're also looking at doing a couple of events in Europe as well, but unfortunately, like everything else, we're still trying to finalise budgets for that, so hopefully now we have a good programme for this year, and we're looking forward to getting started. And one thing I have to say is I'm really looking forward to working with Ashley too. He's a fantastic young talent, he's a good ethic towards rallying, and we should make a good combination this year.
Great stuff. So I always say this about co-drivers, you can't really say it about drivers, you're still potentially prostituting yourself out there for other dates that don't clash then. Is that fair to say?
I suppose, and for my track record, I've no point denying that, or does my phone light up with calls?
Well, does it help just, I know, it may seem like an obvious question, but of course, you know, we asked for the listeners as well, for as me really. Obviously, you did 33 rallies last year, sat with, was it 4 different drivers last year?
That sounds like a more reasonable figure. Yeah, I'll go with 4.
Yeah. I think it sounds like 4 drivers. This year, obviously, you've done the opening round with Brenton in Rally America, and that may or may not continue. But the fact that you are going to be with Ashley for a season, does that help the fact that you kind of just bedded down with one driver?
I'll be honest, it does for me personally. The reason I do so many rallies, and I get asked that a lot, is I just love competing. I love rallying. I love being in the car. And if the opportunity comes to compete and it's a good opportunity, I always take it. Like, rallying's my passion, it's my life. It's what I love to do. And I suppose, but this year now, after having to change a lot of different pace and all styles last year and different rules and regulations and stuff back and forth, which is enjoyable for me, but it will be nice this year to work with mainly the one driver, focus on developing a very good pace note system and a very good communication between the two of us, you know. So I am kind of more looking forward to that, I have to say.
Fantastic. Listen, you're now going to be, I'm volunteering for this, I did this to Gus Greensmith when we had him on the other week. He's our man in the DMAC Drive Trophy in WRC, so you're now going to be our man in the South African Rally Championship. Is that a deal?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I definitely keep you guys posted on how things go around there.
Good man,
sure.
We'll have you on, and maybe we'll get Ashley on as well at the same time, and we'll it'd be like being down a pub, sat around a table. We'll all have a big chat, and we'll talk rally. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic, Tony. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Listen, Niall, it's been lovely to have you on, and we'll as I say, we will catch up soon. When is the opening round of? It was the 4th and 5th of March, isn't it?
Yeah, there has been a few discrepancies with the calendar. From my diary, it's still the 4th and 5th of March, but it's all to be confirmed later this week.
Fantastic. We'll catch up with you after that. And as I say, it's been lovely having you on. So we'll catch you up soon. Thanks, Niall.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care. All the best. And we're going to go from Niall now, and we're going to cross over to, finally, the guys that we spoke to way back when, it feels like now, at Autosport. We did speak to MH Motorsport, which is Mike Harris and his team, who are running 5 cars in the British Rally Championship this year, 5 R2 cars, which is going to be some feud in itself. So sit back and enjoy my little chat with Mike and his team. Now, thanks, mate.
No worries. Sorry. Thanks very much, dude.
Catch you up very soon. Look after yourself.
I will do. Take care.
Bye, mate.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
So, we're still at Wales Rally GB stand. We're still at the British Rally Championship stand. And the reason why we're there is because the buzz about the place, we've just been talking to Ben Taylor about it, and the biggest Fiesta R2 team has been put together by an old teammate of mine, an old rival of mine, Mike Harris. Welcome to Absolute Rally, Mike Harris.
Thank you very much. How are we doing?
And we're really good. And we wanted to talk to you because you've put this together, and we've got two of your drivers here, and one of which, Josh, did Wales Rally GB with us last year, and he embarrassed me to say the least, but we're not going to talk about my stage times compared to Josh's. And we've got Nabila, who's also coming to the team, who's probably going to be the first female to sign up for the British Rally Championship. So Nabila, welcome to the British Rally Championship first and foremost. What have you been doing other than waiting for this moment? Have you been rallying before?
I've only done a couple of single venue events. So I also drove my granddad's works car DAF in Germany, the Eiffel Rally, last year. So just small things.
Wow, so this is a massive step up for you. Who's going to be co-driving for you?
Fiona Skerritt.
Okay.
I thought I'd go with someone. We wanted an all-female crew, but I wanted someone who had a lot more experience because new to the championship, so.
Fantastic. So silly things like sequential gearboxes and things like that are not scaring you at all then?
No, luckily I don't get scared easily.
Good, because that's really important. Especially on those first couple of stages on the mid-Wales, trust me, my hearing is hairy. Take no notice of anybody. It's a hairy, hairy stakes to go and do, which this man, of course, stood next to you, who's going to be your teammate, Josh Cornwall. You did those stages on Wales Rally GB in the R2 car. How are you feeling with regards to the British Rally Championship? You got a bit of buzz back about it again. You're a young man, and there's this amazing prize drive as well.
Yeah, well, obviously we've got the we done GB in November and got good confidence coming into the BRC. We've done a few stages in GB that we're going to be doing next year, so hopefully I should remember some of it and should get some good speed. But we've got good confidence and we're gaining experience as time goes on, so should be good.
Fantastic. Same crew in the car. What co-driver this year?
Yeah, I got Di Roberts this year all the way through BRC. Yeah.
Very experienced guy. He's been around the job quite some time.
Hitting nearly 15 years now, I think, co-driving or something like that.
I thought you were going to say his age, and I was going to say, don't say his age. Di won't appreciate. I thought you were going to say he's nearly 50. Di won't appreciate that, trust me.
Well, I don't know. Well, he's good experience. He's got a lot of experience behind him and helps me out a lot while I'm driving. So
this is going to be an interesting. This is a question, I guess, for the two of you. Nabila, this is so new for you, so this question probably won't seem as odd as what I'm going to ask you, but having teammates around, is that a good or a bad thing for you? Do you feel it's good to have the other people around you that are in the same car and going through the same experiences, or would you rather just do your own thing?
No, I personally think it's great because I get gain a lot more experience from all of them just because they've driven a lot more than I have, so I'll learn a lot from them as well. Plus, I'd rather have a team in something like this anyway.
Fantastic. Josh, you are part of the biggest R2 team in the British Rally Championship. How does it feel for you? Is there an element of wanting to beat your teammates first and foremost, or is it the fact that you can work together to perhaps get more out of the car that maybe you've not found yourself yet?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always good to have more. Like, the more teammates, the better, I guess. Like, you get, it's all good to compare with each other, and you can all be mates and things like that. It's not like I don't go out to try and beat my teammates and stuff like that. Like, I think what happens, to be honest, but still, it's just
lying.
I'm not. But it's just, no, we just have to see how it goes, really. It's all good to be like mates, and we've had fallouts before with other teammates and stuff like that, so yeah.
Fair dues. Nabila, now, have you got to the stage yet where you've sat on these, because they're a fantastic little car, by the way. I've done some tests in them and I love driving R2 Fiestas. Have you done any tests in them yet?
Driven it up the road. Does that count?
Not really. When's is the team boss has stood next to us, no pressure, Mike, but when's Nabila going to be driving on gravel for the first time?
She's on gravel, will be February the 6th, I believe, 6th or 7th, that weekend. We've booked a full team test day at Waters Arena, so that's good. We're going to do a first day on tarmac on the Saturday, and then on Sunday we're going to be on the gravel. So yeah, it should be good. Everyone can sort of get to know each other a bit more. There's sort of people just sort of met each other today and read about each other and stuff like that. But Nabila took the car up the road, and the main thing was just explain to her that, you know, don't let it scare you. But she's already said it doesn't. Things don't scare her too easy, and she was fine. She cracked on, and she was scaring me, to be honest, up the road. But no, it was all good. So she's going to do a bit with Bill Gwynn as well, just over on at Bill Gwynn's place on the airfield for a few times. Get used to driving the car properly, so that when she comes to Waters Arena, she's all in good stead to actually learn how to drive the car properly in the forest.
Nabila, rallying has gone through a very weird kind of period, and I believe that rallying's on its way back now. I've kind of gone through the generations almost, and we've kind of, everything comes in a circle. We've had a lot of female drivers come through the sport, but we haven't had many recently. You know, the main one who springs to mind straight away in the British Rally Championship, friend of our show, Molly Taylor, who Molly went through, and Molly is a very, very quick lady, very, very talented lady and everything else. But we've definitely had a big gap since Molly. What's brought you in? What kind of sucks you in as opposed to going circuit racing or doing something else?
Well, I'm third generation in my family who's rallied, so that's really what it was. And then I just got into it through my dad. I was the second daughter and he always wanted a son, so I kind of learnt through that, and I just picked it up and enjoyed it. So I was like, why not?
Fantastic. So, guys, it's been lovely to speak to you. I'm going to ask Mike, as team boss now, I want you to give your driver roll call. Tell me, you don't have to do them in any kind of team order. There's no number one drivers here. We know there's four cars. But just take our listeners at Absolute Rally, who are your drivers for the British Rally Championship this year?
Okay, so first up, we got who you've heard from is Josh Cornwell. Good young lad, loads of experience now, and he's going to be a very, very quick driver. Second up with us, Nabila Tejbar. She's an all-female crew, so that's going to be great to see how she goes. There's going to be lots of publicity coming Nabila's way, which can only be great for her, and it's going to be a good learning experience. Third, we've got Will Graham. He used to co-drive a lot for his dad, who probably a lot of people know, Ernie Graham. He's taking part in the BRC Juniors as well. First year rallying, just sort of going to gain literally what it's all about, how it all works and experience. And last up, we've got our R2T, which we've hired out to an Italian chap called Umberto Acanero, who's coming over, flying over from Italy to do various rounds of the BRC, which, we're looking forward to. Providing they all keep it on the straight and narrow, it'll be a good season. We've got an older chap as well, Roger Platt, who's got an R2, and he's going to come and do a few rounds now and then in the BRC. Obviously, just going for the crack, because he's a... He's out of the junior touch, I'm afraid. But yeah, no, all good.
How does it feel to change hats? You and I have been teammates over the years. We've competed against one another. How does it feel now to kind of take that step back and put together? Because in fairness, your team looks fantastic. The outlook of the team, the cars are always fantastically turned out. The setup and everything else. And it's almost like there's more work gone into that side from me, from an outsider looking. I hope you take that the right way.
No,
your team looks fantastic. You know, you used to go rally and it was kind of, you know, up to your knee, get involved. Your team is a completely different animal altogether.
No, that's it. We've been working hard. I mean, to be honest, I brought the R2 last year, and the idea was we knew that it would be a car that people would want to use and going forwards, and we wanted to get involved in. And we just wanted to push that. And for the last sort of half of last year and this, I've just been pushing on making sure that, you know, we turn out cars that get to the end of rallies. I think Josh will vouch for the fact that we had pretty much 100% finishing record. All right, we had a few problems along the way, but every car completed every stage of any event that it did. Probably some driver errors in there on both mine and Josh's part along the way, but other than that, it's been great. And then we sort of just put ourselves out there and sort of said, you know, we're here to help. We've got a new unit now, a new premises, which is looking great coming along. We're doing a lot of work there. And then in the last 3 weeks, just the phone hasn't stopped, to be honest, just people wanting to get involved and being down south, you know, a lot of the people are from down south because there's not many teams who can cater for them. So, you know, it's been good. And hopefully we'll have a good year. It's not going to be easy, but it should be all right.
I genuinely can't wait to see how all this goes, because I think the roller coaster that is about to set off in about 48 days' time, I don't think anybody can be prepared for it. But listen, we'll catch up with all your drivers as the year goes on. And listen, all of you, the very, very best of luck. And yeah, we'll catch you up with you again on Absolute Rally soon.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you.
This is the Absolute Rally podcast. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
And welcome back to Absolute Rally. I told you we were going to catch up with Galway, and I thought, who better than to get my mate, who's an Irishman and knows a fair bit about Irish tarmac rally. Zav McCartan, welcome back to Absolute Rally. It's been a while since we've had you on, mate.
It's been a while, but it's always nice to come on and talk about the latest that's going on in the world of rallying.
So, now Galway, I was kind of following it loosely, one thing I did notice, and I suppose I don't... It's one of those, there's been so many stories with regards to what's going on with the Irish Tarmac Championship, obviously with the newer World Rally cars and the R5 cars and everything else. Could you kind of clear up where we're at with all that at the moment?
Well, we've gone into this year's Clonakilty sponsored Black Pudding Irish Tarmac Championship, where World Rally cars can still compete, but only for event wins. The championship winner at the end of this year will be from the R5 section and category. I suppose there was a bit of, how would you put it, unhappiness with the way the whole thing was implemented. But I think what Galway, the Car Oil Galway International, showed last weekend, that there was only one winner, Tony, and that was the spectators, because what they ended up getting was a really, really good event, in that there was four or five WRC cars at the start and then a plethora of R5 and S2000s. I'm sure you know Gary Jennings took the victory with Rory Kennedy, and quite ironic in the Impreza World Rally car, bearing in mind that Gary began his career in that, you know, Subaru WRC in goal, but all left-hand drive for him. And he's had a couple of unlucky events and just rebuilt the car from the engine fire. But I think the one winner out of last weekend was the spectators, because they were treated to a battle in with the WRC cars, but then further down the field, second, third, fourth, fifth, and it does bode well for the rest of the year.
I was just looking through the obvious, I've been looking at the runners and riders and the finishes and stuff, and it is staggering all of a sudden. This kind of takes me back, and I always remember, it was one of those statistics that somebody once told me, and it was, I don't know whether it was a pub fact, I love pub facts by the way, which I never quite bob on, but this is kind of roughly, that there was more World Rally cars in Ireland per person than anywhere else in the world, and I don't know whether that was a true fact or, as I say, one of those pub facts, but certainly this kind of, this R5 thing really seems to have took hold over there.
It has. I think the problem was the way it was implemented. It was done with the best intentions, and there was uproar and that kind of thing. But last weekend showed that for the rest of the year, it is going to provide a great battleground. I mean, as we know, Gary Jennings and Rory Kennedy won the event in the World Rally Car. Keith Cronin was second with Mikey Galvin. Now, Keith, had planned to do some WRC events last year, and obviously, you know, wrecked the car in testing early in the year, and that sort of precluded him doing very much. But rebuilt the car, and he now leads the championship. And Galway was great for a couple of things. I mean, we had Alistair Fisher coming in third with Gordon Noble, and as Art McCarrick pointed out, it was wonderful to see the Fisher name on a podium once again. You know, the Irish rallying is synonymous with the battles between Bertie Fisher and Austin McKeown many years gone by, but, you know, there was just under 2 minutes separated from second to sixth You know, from Keith in second, you know, Alistair Fisher was third, Sam Moffat was fourth, Roy White, James O'Brien fifth, and then Josh, Sam's brother, was Jason McKenna, were sixth. So 2 minutes, I mean, over the 2 days of Galway. And bearing in mind, too, I mean, there was horrendous weather on the Saturday that caught a lot of very reputable people out. It ended up being a very, very good event. And I have to say, you know, to talk of the course, Kieran Donoghue, credit must go to Galway, because over the years they have faced, you know, what weather can throw at them. And it's not that long ago that, you know, they had to shorten stages, you know, get rid of some stages because of floods. You know, and we're heading into Sweden this weekend where they've lost a few stages. So every year Galway faced the same, and they did a tremendous job keeping it reasonably on time. Everything ran, and they battled with the elements. And, you know, the hundreds of marshals that stood out in if anyone's ever experienced horizontal rain, you know, and a lot of social media after, it was great to see, thanking the marshals for a superb job.
Yeah, no. As I say, I've seen some of the pictures, and I've seen some bits and pieces. That I suppose the joys now of Twitter and things like that is that you do get these kind of 15-second, 20-second snippets of what's going on the rally throughout the day. And as I say, I've seen a couple of those. I think it was one of the Moffats getting a square left horrendously wrong and just getting away with it. Seems to sink it out to me. Now, one thing that we keep on talking about kind of the British Rally Championship, and again, I always apologise to our overseas listeners, but it's kind of got that international flavour. Now, one thing that, and I may be reading between the lines here, you look at the finishes on this particular on Galway, and you look at Keith Crone, of course, former British Rally Champion. Alistair Fisher, of course, he's been there and he's been competing in Junior World Championship and things over the last few years. And Josh Moffat has been there. Joseph McGonagall, who's done BRC back in the day. Johnny Greer, Stephen Wright, Brendan Kumsky. Aaron McHale is a name from a bygone era as well. Are these guys all warming up to mix and match their programs, or are they all committed to just doing Irish tarmac?
I think for some of them it'll be a case of mix and match. What you have with the new British Rally Championship, you have the ability to probably start both championships. A bit like David Bogie a few years ago, when I think he won both the Scottish and the British, and just see where it goes. The beauty about a lot of the British rounds is they're very accessible for Irish crews. I think one of the, while we were all disappointed that, you know, the British Rally Championship didn't run last year, what the benefit was for rallying in Ireland was there was quite a few of the guys, you know, North Wales, Mid Wales based, you know, Midlands and Scotland, came across and competed and were highly entertained by the quality of the stages. So I think you'll find that probably for at least good halfway through the season, people will mix and match. It's interesting to see that the likes of those who are doing well, if you like, are those who have gone ERC or done some World Rally Championship, be it in the DMAC or be it in an R2. You know, but one of the standouts for me was Callum Devine, I mean, bringing the Opal Adam. So, you know, in the BRC, you know, they're going to be ones to watch. But throughout the event, Tony, there were some terrific battles, you know, not just in the R5. I mean, Leslie Patterson was having a great battle right to the end of the event. He ended up winning the national category. I mean, the junior category, it was a close-fought battle. I mean, Irish rallying at the moment is in a really healthy state, because this Saturday sees the launch of the Triton Shars National Championship. You know, that's a series that appeals to businessmen and appeals to people, because you go recce Saturday, rally Sunday, and you're home Sunday night and back to work Monday. You know, it's in a very healthy state at the moment, and there could be a very good crossover, you know, from somebody that does this, you know, the first couple of rounds of the BRC and doesn't go well, you know, they can then concentrate on the Irish tarmac. So you could see some of the British guys actually now, you know, deciding to go down the Irish tarmac route and vice versa. It's very good. It really is good.
I think you know, over the years, I think it's, you know, it's always been the place to go and improve your tarmac experience. You know, we were only talking about this last week. We were talking about driver coaching and things like that. Brian and I were discussing obviously what's going on with Dan Barrett and the Gazoo Racing thing, and we were talking about Toshi. Of course, Toshi came over and did the Irish Tarmac Championship in order to improve his tarmac experience. And I just wonder with the way the British Rally Championship seems to have that international flavour again, is will there be a bounce effect? And I think there possibly could be, that, you know, international crews are coming back to compete on the British Rally Championship, and the tag onto that is that they'll go over and naturally do Irish tarmac rounds as part of the championship, but think, you know, this, you know, team bosses or, you know, people who invest in the young careers and stuff, you know what, maybe we need to send these guys there and maybe have 6 months, 12 months over there. You know, you only have to think, I'm just going back there straight away, it's just coming to my head, a far more recent one, Andreas Mikkelsen.
Yeah, well, Andreas came over. I mean, everybody remember in the Focus, and he came and did his time, for want of a better expression. But people do come across. I mean, I remember Jimmy McRae advising Colin to get into Ireland as much as he could and get the tarmac experience, because if you can master Irish tarmac, you can master Corsica, you can master France. And we saw that, funnily enough, with Rally Ireland, you know, a few years back when the Loebs and everybody else that came to Rally Ireland, and you know, cream always rises to the top. But they came, you know, Loeb came and did Cork, Citroens came, they did Donegal. And it's tricky. You know, Irish tarmac's not like French tarmac, as Loeb quite often will agree with you. So to come and do your time and learn your craft, that you can take that back into another environment built on what you've learned, yeah, it'll always stand you in good stead. And conversely, funnily enough, it doesn't always fit that some of the, you know, the world rally cars will actually be a success in Ireland. I mean, the Bruno Thierry Peugeot 206, if you remember, eventually found its way over to Ireland. It was at one stage in the hands of George Tracy, and I don't think it was ever dialed into for Irish tarmac. So it's a great testing ground, and Galway was a great open to the championship for definite. You know, to sidetrack for a second, Declan Gallagher was shining like a bright light, you know, Declan, the mountain from Donegal, until he got it very badly wrong at stage five. But he was shining on his first event in a WRC car. Now, he came out of a really rapid two-wheel drive car into that, and again, was able to set the pace. Now, the can't stress how tricky, damp, wet, slippy, you know, the conditions were. It was a very tricky event. Tim McNulty out in the stage, you know, day in stage one. Now, Tim is no mean pilot himself, but, you know, the conditions caught people out, and anyone that finished the event did well. But then the likes of Gary that won the event, Keith in second, Alistair Fisher third, I mean, it was a very, very good result all the way down the field. I mean, there was some terrific action all weekend.
Fantastic. So, where do we go next then? What's after Galway?
Well, we're off to West Cork. And that is on March the 12th and 13th. And it's only the second time for West Cork that it'll be run under an international permit. And oddly enough, the last time it ran as an international was 86 and was won by none other than who could only be described as a real hero, real folk hero, and Craig Breen would know about him. Frank Maher won it in a Mark II Escort.
Wow.
And, you know, luckily for Cork, you know, it's now a round of the inaugural FIA Celtic Rally Trophy. So that is possibly going to add to it as well. I mean, it's a great championship this year. And then on to, you know, the Circuit of Ireland. And it brings me back to what I was going to say to you about, you were saying about the British car coming across and vice versa, and that really good mix. You know, the fact that the circuit is now part of the British Championship is going to be a huge benefit come the 7th and 9th of April. Then you have, it's a round of the Tarmac Championship and, of course, the ERC. And I think the entries from the British Championship and the Irish Tarmac Championship will actually make for a great circuit. The entries from the ERC have yet to really be decided. We know from last year that people start to do the snow rounds and then maybe don't do as many of the other rounds. So the we're still to be confirmed, if you like, the European Rally Championship entries, but with the influx of the British Championship and the Irish Championship, then, you know, when you head to the circuit, and Saturday 9th of April, it's going to be good.
Hopefully for those guys as well, while it's, you know, frustrating for the guys on the opening round of ERC, obviously it was cancelled through lack of snow, so maybe there might be some additional budget there. Anyway, listen, Zav, you've been an absolute star, mate, and as ever, we will catch up nearer the next round of the Irish Tarmac Championship, and yeah, it's great to have you back on.
No, it's always good to talk rally. I mean, even if we weren't on a radio show, Tony, you and I sound awful like that when we meet. So, it's good to be back on. It's good to talk about, you know, some great news in Irish rally and some great news in British rally. And, you know, 2016 looks really good on so many fronts, mate.
I think it does. And you've very, very nicely just rounded up our show ever so well. Folks, thank you so much for downloading this podcast. You know where we live. It's @Absolute_Rally on Twitter. If you want to get in contact with us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Absolute Rally. And Ryan, myself and Jack, and probably Zav a little bit further down, will be back to entertain you and talk about rallying. But thank you so much for downloading this week. And Zav, we'll catch up again soon.
Talk soon. Be good.
Bye-bye.